He said, whenever two or three gather in my name, I will be among them. So you are more than the two or three. So we can have our meditation tonight. About the Gospel of the Vespers. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God, Amen. This week is the fourth week of Pentecost. And as we said before, exactly as we have the classification or the program of the Great Lent Sundays readings, so also we have in the Pentecost the same system. Just a reminder in a few minutes, the first week is Thomas Sunday, and Thomas Sunday is the day on which the proof of the resurrection of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was confirmed when he appeared to the disciples, and among them was St. Thomas, and he showed them his hands and his feet and his side as well to prove that the same body which was crucified and buried is the same body that resurrected from dead. And we continue saying it's also the same body that the Lord ascended into heavens, and now it's in the kingdom of heavens. And always we say that the body of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who is now existed in the kingdom of heaven. No one at all is in the kingdom of heavens. Why? Because there is a big difference between the paradise of joy and the kingdom of heavens. Can you say? Who knows? What is the main difference between the paradise of joy and the kingdom of heaven? Yeah, paradise of joy, the awaiting place or state. Because when we say place, it's difficult to say place because we cannot imagine that it could be a limited place with walls or something. It's heavens. So we don't know whether we call it place or state. However, better to call it state. It's a state or case of being in the paradise of joy. In another way, we can say that he is person in the paradise of joy, and beside him, another person in Hades. Yani, in the place. However, this is the paradise of joy, and this is in the Hades. Could be imagination, but it's not so far from the fact. Another difference between the paradise of joy and the kingdom of heavens. Very important difference. الفكرة في أربانة تانية يا مايكل تحت سبوها بتيالي كده. بس not now. عشان تسمع. When I say Rabbina Mawgud, God is existed, Rabbina is not limited. God is not limited. He is everywhere, every single where, and there is no point in the whole universe without God. There is a very important difference between the paradise of joy and the kingdom of heavens. time. Yeah, Maggie said, it's the awaiting state or place. So it's temporary. The other is permanent. But there is a very important. Who knows? طب يعني عشان أقربها لكم شوي. What happens when any one of us departs? Dies, يعني. Huh? What of his? And the body? The body in the ground, yeah? And the spirit in the paradise of joy, or God forbid, in the other place. I don't want to say it even. So hopefully everyone will, of us, when he leaves this world, his spirit will be in the paradise of joy. What will be in the kingdom of heavens? The body of resurrection. So the spirit will come again to the body, giving it the new form, the new body, the body of resurrection, the power of resurrection in it to live forever. This is the body of resurrection that the Lord resurrected from the dead. That's why we call him Bakurat al-Raqdeen, the firstborn of the departed. Why? Because he passed already to the kingdom of heavens. Is there anyone else in the kingdom of heavens? No. None. Even Saint Mary, the mother of God, she's not yet in the kingdom of heavens. Why? Because simply her spirit is in the paradise of joy, while her body is kept somewhere by God's will, because he did not want to leave her body be corrupted after she carried the divinity and humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born from here. This is the main difference between the paradise of joy and the kingdom of heavens. The paradise of joy is the place in which all the spirits, when they depart from here, they go to the paradise of joy. That's why we call, O Lord, those who have, you have taken their souls, repose them in the paradise of joy. And then in the heavenly Jerusalem, and then in that place. So this differs from the second. It's not the same place. Yes, the Abuna says the three, one after one, but the paradise of joy is a place or a state, and the heavenly Jerusalem, or the kingdom of heaven, is another state. So this is the first Sunday of the resurrection, or Pentecost, to believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we say resurrection of our Lord, means resurrection of our body through him from the dead to life. And then after that, the church starts now to explain to us how to live the resurrection, or how to benefit from the resurrection. Now Jesus Christ now has the glorified body in the kingdom of heavens, and this body has special specifications, special qualities. Number one, an end, yani it doesn't finish, khalas, doesn't perish, never finish. This is number one. Number two, this body is not only the living body, but the life-giving body. Again, it's not only the living body in himself, but for me, he is the life-giving body to me. When I partake from it. That's why in the second Sunday of the resurrection or the Pentecost, the church presents to us our Lord Jesus Christ as the true bread of life. And this explains the mystery of the Holy Communion as a sacrament. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life who came down from heavens to give you the eternal life when you partake of me. عشان كده, he says, whoever eats my body and drinks my blood, three things will happen to him. Number one, abide in me and I in him. Number two, will live everlasting life. And number three, who eats in me, who eats from me, lives by me. من يأكلني يحيى بي. Three. يعني every time we partake the Holy Communion, it's not just remembrance. It's not just a blessing. We have in the church. No, it's much more than that, much deeper than that. Abide in him and he in me, live everlasting life, and live in him. Tomorrow, God willing, he will explain to us the relationship between life and light. But anyhow, the second week is the Lord is the bread of life. Third week, which was last week, the church presents us Jesus Christ as the water, life-giving water. When he met the Samaritan woman and they asked her to give him water, and then he said, whoever drinks from this water will be thirsted again. But whoever takes from the water that I give will not thirst, will never thirst again. But the water which I give him will be a spring of living water or everlasting living water. He was speaking about the Holy Spirit. So as the Lord was symbolized or resembled by the rock which followed the children of Israel in Sinai about 40 years, followed them, and every time water flowed from the rock for the people to drink in the wilderness, so also the Lord Jesus Christ is the rock, the true rock, the true cornerstone of the building, and through him we take the water, living water, which is the Holy Spirit. That's why through his crucifixion, every one of us was able to receive the Holy Spirit to be living in him permanently and to make in his heart a temple or an altar. And this is what St. Paul said, don't you know that you are the temple of God? The Holy Spirit dwells in you. This is the third week. And it means that we cannot live without bread. We cannot live without water. And then we cannot live without Jesus Christ, the resurrected, the same level. If the water and bread is essential for us to live, then the true body and the true water is very essential, is that it's a must for us to have to live everlasting life. Fourth, which is tomorrow, the life. And as we'll see tomorrow, God willing, the life, the light of the water was mentioned in the Gospel of St. John 5 times. Chapter 1, chapter 3, chapter 5, chapter 8, and chapter 12. Tomorrow, inshallah, I'll explain them. But now, it's the light of life. Light. In St. John 1, 3, he said, in him was life. And the life was the light of the people. Equation. Yalla, mathematics. Mathematics. In him was life. And the life was the light of the world. And the light was Jesus Christ. Then in him was life, which is the light, and the light enlightened to the people, but unfortunately they did not like the water, the light, because their works were wicked or evil. So they preferred to live in darkness. Chapter 1, Gospel of St. John. But now, the light means spiritually, not literally, because there are many literal blind people, but they live in the true light. They see God, the true light. They see God, the true light. So, if I say that the Lord is the bread of life, and the water of life, then I say he is the light of life. Light of life to me means without him I will live in darkness. I will walk in darkness. I will understand in darkness. I will act in darkness. I will think in darkness. And I will speak in darkness without him. Why? Because simply there is no point in the whole world that the light and the darkness gather together. That's why they define the darkness. What is the definition of the darkness? In the place, absence of light. The definition of darkness is the absence of light. And this was from the beginning. On the first day, fourth day, when the Lord created the sun and the moon, he said a very important word. And he separated between the light and the darkness. And he called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And from this point on, the day became two divisions, two parts, day and night. Day and night. Day means light, night means dark. But spiritually, now, we have the true light. What is the main difference between the true light and this light? The true light can never be absent. And the true light casts out the darkness from my life, which is very important. When you enter your room, it's dark. Turn out the button of the bulb, you will have light. Right? Turn it again off, back to darkness. But the true light is not that. The true light enlightens your heart 24/7. All your life. All your life. You are awake or asleep. You are in the day and the night. You are doing good or doing bad. He's still the light. He's still the true light. That's why when we repent, we come back to the light. And we recognize that we were in darkness. When we committed sins, then we escape from the darkness to the true light, and we find the true light awaiting for us, taking us in his bosom. Drying our tears, accepting our repentance, giving us the forgiveness of our sins. This is the true light that enlightens the world. That's why we are only light, but he is the true light. Why? Because he is the source of our light. We are not source of light. Like the relationship between the moon and the sun. The sun is a true light. Yes, but the moon is not the true light. The moon in itself, it is a dark star. But when the light of the sun shines with its rays on the moon, then we see the moon enlightened or light. And vice versa. When the moon yibed and the shams, when it gets far from the sun, it becomes dark again. This is the fourth Sunday. The fifth Sunday is the last one before the ascension. And the Lord presents himself to us in three main definitions or specifications. Way, truth, and life. I am the way, the truth, and life. Khalas, there is nothing after that. The way means if you go in this way, you will never lose your way to heaven at all. Because if you look at the way leads you to the everlasting life. And he is the truth, means that he will reveal to you the truth from the untruth. And if you want to know what's right, what's wrong, he is the truth. He is not only the right, no, he is the truth. And at last, is the life, because in him is life. If you want to live everlasting life, look at him, follow him, imitate him, listen to him, then you will be going to the everlasting life. And then comes the ascension, lower Khamis Saud, the Thursday of ascension, and then 10 days and the descendant of the Holy Spirit. And you don't worry, it could be the beginning of the storm. They said that. And there is a storm is coming sometime, maybe tonight. All the boys are playing basketball outside. So tonight, just one verse took my eyes. I want to share with you. It's the last verses of chapter 6 of St. John. Do you know chapter 6 of St. John? The most important chapter in the Gospel of St. John. And I asked you last week to read it. I don't know how many of you read it, but anyhow, I asked all of the congregation to read chapter 6. Chapter 6, the longest chapter in the Gospel of St. John. It's the most important one. Do you remember? About the communion. Yeah. About the communion. It starts with the miracle of feeding the thousands with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and then saving the disciples from the storm in the boat when he came to them and asked Peter, ordered him to walk on the water, and then saved Peter and saved the disciples from the storm and the waves. And then the people who were seeking for him, he said to them, you are asking for me or seeking for me not because you saw the miracles and believed, but because you ate and were filled, and you are now seeking for that. Seek for the bread that does not perish, the everlasting bread. Then an argument, long argument, happened between them and our Lord Jesus Christ. And they said to them, I am the bread of life. And then he said to them the 3 points we said before. Abide in who eats my body and drinks my blood. Abides in me and I in him. Who eats my body and drinks my blood will live forever. Who eats me will live in me or by me. After that, many of the disciples went back and stopped to follow him. They were doubted in his speech about himself as the bread of life. And he said, how come that he may give us his body? And you don't understand that. Then he said to them, do you also want to go away? He said to his disciples, do you want also to go away? And then St. Peter said the verse that we want to meditate on tonight. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. إلى من نذهب وكلام الحياة الأبدية عندك. This is the greatest answer that Peter ever said to the Lord Jesus Christ. To whom? And I ask myself, to whom shall I go? To whom shall I follow? To whom shall I listen except to our Lord Jesus Christ? It means that to Peter, to the disciples, and to every one of us, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one or the only one that when we listen to him, follow him, obey him, give his Holy Spirit the chance to work in me, can give me the eternal life. Everyone in the whole world helps me. His help is for reasons or one or more here, except our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes? I can have a tutoring teacher to help me to succeed. I can have someone to help me to make my resume to search for work when I finish. I can have someone to lead me to مثلاً a good young lady to marry, to form a family. I can have a family doctor to help me when I fall sick. So all these are limited to our life. Our dealing to the people here are limited only to this life, except in this place. And this place is a part of heaven. That's why every time we come to the church, actually, we are seeking everlasting life. We are seeking Him because He is the only one who can give the words of eternal life to me. That's why those who come to the church in this concept, لا خلاص تبقى will benefit completely from the church. And those who come to the church as a habit, خلاص, we went to the church, we still go to the church, we will go to the church, past, present, and future. But why? What is the goal of going to the church? What if the goal of opening the Bible and reading the Bible? Do you feel that in the Bible you find the words of eternal life, or it is the only book when you read will lead you to the everlasting life? Taman, when I say the Bible, I say according to Taman, the branches of the Bible or the explanations, the illustrations, the meditations, the sermons, the spiritual books. Anything related to the Bible as a source leads you to everlasting life. That's why when you come to the church, listen to a sermon or listen to the catechumen, the Pauline epistle, the Catholic epistle, the Acts of Apostles, the Gospel, and the sermon, Synaxarium. All these books are good sources, but coming mainly from the Bible. ما فيش حاجة برا البيبل. There is nothing out of the Bible. We are biblical church. The liturgy that you sing with us or share with us or يعني chant with the deacons are taken completely, fully, 100% from the Bible. No single word out of the Bible. So the Bible is the word of the eternal life. And then at last, when you come, when you hear, when you listen, then Father, one thing, Father, just one thing. Act. Yeah. Do it. Do it. Because if I listen and I listen and I listen and I listen, what will happen to me? That my mind will be full of knowledge. But my life will not going accordingly. And here I go to what is a little bit dangerous to me, which is hypocrite life. What I know is filling my mind. But what I do is not always according to what my mind has collected from the words of the eternal life. That's why Saint Peter said to him, "To whom, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Please, when you fall into temptation, when you are perplexed in something, you are confused in your life and you don't know what to say, say this word. To whom shall I go? The words of the eternal life, you have it. You have the words of the eternal life. And then be sure that the Lord will guide you to the right way, will enlighten your heart and mind to come out of the temptation safely and to overcome the temptation safely as well. We pray from all our hearts that this verse is always not only in my mouth but also in my heart and in my mind, and I use it as much as I can, saying with St. Peter, to whom shall I go, the words of life, or you have the words of the eternal life. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Any question? Any question?